Good morning and welcome to the WHTC Outdoor Show with your host, Tom Medendorp, the outdoor show for the whole family. This morning's show is being brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. Phone lines are open now. Call 395-1450. That's 395-1450. It's the WHTC Outdoor Show.
Good morning. Welcome to the Outdoor Show. This edition of the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville, Weston Brook Mower, Powderhorn Guns and Archery, My Firearms ETS, and Holland's Original Gun and Knife Show. That's February 15, 2014, from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. at the Holland Civic Center. You're listening to the Outdoor Show live right here on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown outdoor station. Give us a call with your questions or comments. 395-1450. I'm Tom Medendorp. I'm here with Terry Persian, musher extraordinaire. And we're talking about dog mushing and dog care. There'd be a few people out there that may be interested in what it takes to become a dog musher. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 395-1450. How are you this morning, Terry?
I'm pretty good so far.
Pretty good so far? Because it's not so cold as it was the last 2 days.
Yeah, it was beautiful the last couple days.
Last couple days, you walk outside and you take a deep breath in and, whoa,
hurt. Yeah, you can just feel it. Your face goes a little numb. Yeah.
Definitely the weather is nicer today, but it's going to be coming back.
Yes, it's going to be good and cold on Monday.
So. And your dogs love that weather.
They do. It's kind of strange, but when they're running, the colder it is, the better they run, just because they're such a heavy, thick coat that when their metabolism moves up and they're running hard, they overheat when it's 30 degrees.
Right, because so, they have such a thick, that husky.
Yeah, that heavy coat.
That heavy coat that's
yeah,
on them.
Yeah, they run really good when it's under 10, usually.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, you've been doing this dog sledding thing for a while now.
A little while. Like, I don't even know. I think probably 16, maybe 17 years, something like
really?
That.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many dogs have you gone through as far as that you let go because they got old?
Let's see. I've had two that were with me the longest that passed away. I've had a couple that got one of them that got sick and I had to put down, and then I had two that got loose when they were young, and then they got hit by a car.
Oh no!
Mm.
That's a bummer when that happens.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing with the husky is because they're so the drive to run is so strong.
They want to go.
They want to go, and if you don't have them totally secure, they will
they
run.
Want to get out and go.
And it doesn't matter what you have to bring them back, a steak, it doesn't matter. They're just going to go.
That sounds like my red bone hound.
Oh, yeah.
I don't keep him on a leash. He just gets on a trail and he wants to go.
He's got
to
run.
Yep.
It's their only, the only way to get rid of that energy is they got to run.
That's their outlet.
It is.
They want to get out there and move.
Working dogs, you know.
Yeah, so mine, I can't let them out in this kind of cold.
Yeah, he wouldn't do so well.
No. They don't have much fur on them.
No. He lasts for a little while, but not too long.
he likes to go out and hunt, but when it gets so cold, I got to keep him in the house because he's just not made for that.
He just stands there and shivers, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he shakes, but he wants to keep going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's so excited. He wants to go.
He won't go back in.
No. No, it's that drive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wants to go, but he'll go until he cracks, you know, the bottom of his feet. He'll split, and then he'll bleed there.
Sure.
And then I have to, you know, Neosporin and everything else and tend to him for a week and a half.
Yeah, yeah. You know, some of the mushers have this. I forget what it's called. I don't use it much because my dogs don't. I've never had that issue. But they have like a cream that they put on the pads to help keep it soft and moist and protected.
Is it like bag balm or?
It's something like that. It comes in a little.
Is it a little cubicle kind of tin?
Yeah, it's almost like shoe polish.
Yeah, it's. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's bag balm that they're using.
Okay, all right.
I remember, I don't know where you can get it anymore, but I remember Grandma always had bag balm.
Ah, yeah, I saw it at a doggy daycare place.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That helps to keep them moist so they don't crack.
Yes, yeah.
Because being inside, they can get dried out. The dogs can, just like the cold weather, will dry things out.
Sure, sure.
But now, your dogs, they can handle the cold.
For the most part, yeah, they're fine with that, you know. They've got the extra fur in there. And then, you know, the other thing that mushers are looking for when the more competitive people, they look for a dog that has a healthy, strong, durable feet, because they run a lot more distance than I do. I'm just kind of a recreational musher. I don't run the long, long distances. And that's when they have the problem. And, you know,
not because the dogs can't do it.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
We all get older.
Yes, we do. Quickly, too. But, yeah, then they'll put that on there, and then a lot of them that run the distance will use actual booties. They put little booties right on the dog's
feet. Like a neoprene-type booty that goes on?
Exactly, and then it's got Velcro that wraps around the ankle part of the dog.
Yeah, there's a lot cheaper ones that are like a stiff kind of cloth.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't flex with the foot.
No.
And the dog, it's funny to watch the dog walk, because I tried them on my dog, the cheaper ones, and he picks his feet up and sets them down.
He's flopping them around like, what is this? Get this off of me. Yeah. I never use those. You have to start almost when they're young to get them used to that, or they won't wear them.
Right, because it feels weird to them.
Yeah,
It's not natural.
It's not natural, exactly.
But now, the Huskies have, between their toes, the fur comes right on down, right to the bottom, and sticks out.
It sticks out, yeah. You have to trim that.
Oh, you have to keep it trimmed.
Yeah, sometimes. You know, when you have days like today, where it's a little warmer, or actually it's a little above 30, that's when the snow will get that packing, and that fur will make balls, little ice balls.
Oh, then they got to walk on those.
And it's like running barefoot with a stone between your toe.
That doesn't sound
fun. That hurts, and they'll stop. I had that happen, and how I found it out was I had one of my dogs that the fur got really long, and I never knew you were supposed to trim that. Didn't take care of it, and he kept stopping and then chewing at his foot. It's like, what is wrong with this guy? So then I seen these balls of ice stuck to the fur.
If you keep that trim back, then
it doesn't build up, right?
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I kind of wanted to talk today, too, about a little bit of care for dogs, because a lot of people aren't confident or competent in caring for their dogs, especially if they have them outside in the frigid weather that we have, that they need to have a place for them to go. What kind of doghouse do you have for your dogs?
As my wife would say, mine are spoiled rotten. I used to have, when I first started this, I just had a regular wooden-built dog house and, you know, just filled it with the hay, but I had it sectioned off, so when they first went in, the first foot and a half was designated to a feeding station, and it blocked the wind a little bit, and then they could tuck in behind that to get out of the wind, and then there was a hay and cedar inside there to curl up and stay warm. Now, I had a pole barn built for my couple of my toys, and in the last the last 12 feet of the barn is designated for the dogs.
Okay.
So they all have indoor kennels.
They all have their own individual?
Well, actually, I have some that don't always get along, so I have them separated. I have two dogs in one kennel, and then four dogs in the middle kennel, and then two dogs in the other end kennel. So they have probably an 8x8 square for the two dogs each.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, and then they've got one big long bed, so they both can lay in it. They can stretch out in the summer, or they can curl up, and they can lay right next to each other. And it's about a foot deep. And it's all full of hay, so they can just jump in there, curl up, and stay warm. And they can get out of the wind and the rain. And then in the summer, get out of the sun. That's the hardest part for the dogs. Yeah. For my dogs, you have to worry more about the heat than you do the cold.
Gotcha. Well, the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Westonbrook Mower, where they service what they sell. All units are ready to use when they leave the store, and Westonbrook submits your warranty information so you don't have to. Stop into the Holland or the Genesis store. Check them out on your computer at westonbrookmower.com. or call them at 616-396-5733. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, educating people in the safe and responsible use of firearms since 2001, and Holland's Original Gun and Knife Show. It's an opportunity for sportsmen and sportswomen from the West Michigan area to network, buy, sell, and trade their hunting, fishing, shooting, and outdoor equipment with other like-minded folks. This is the 26th year with over 108 display tables of outdoor merchandise for sale from dealers and private collectors. There's amazingly good deals found every year. This is at the Holland Civic Center from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. on February 15th, 2014. I'm going to be there. I hope to see you, too. Remember, if you don't support community activities like this one, they may disappear. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. I'm here with Terry Persian, and we're talking all about dogs and dog mushing. That'd be dog sledding, if people are wondering what mushing means. The dogs pull the sled, and the musher is behind them and says, "Mush on." Anyhow, we were talking about accommodations for dogs outside, and when the break came, we talked a little bit about labs. Mm-hmm. And I know there's the mind that says the only dog that should be outside is the husky, but the like we were talking, Labradors, they were bred to retrieve fishing nets from ice-cold water.
Sure.
And they have a double layer of fur. They have that inner layer and an outer layer. But because it's not as long as the huskies, the wind is what will get to them.
Sure, sure. And then people assume immediately, because the fur is shorter, that they're not made to handle the cold.
Yeah, the cold. I had one lab that I built these nice coops for my dogs. I told you all about my little coop.
Yeah.
But my young dog, this was back when I had labs, my old dog, had his coop, and my young dog had his coop. Well, my young dog, when it was cold and snowy and everything else, he'd go and he'd lay outside the coop. He didn't like the coop.
It's too hot.
I'm guessing because he'd curl up in the snow. The snow would come down and cover him. Now, if his fur wasn't built for that, the snow would have melted on him,
mm-hmm.
and it would have returned to water, of course.
Sure.
But because his fur was built for that, the snow would cover him right up. I'd come out in the morning to go to work, and he'd pop his head up out of the snow.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
It was always neat to watch.
Yeah.
But I'm not suggesting that people leave their dogs out in the temperatures like we had yesterday or what's coming, to that
Monday.
Front that comes
sure.
through tomorrow for Monday's frigid wake-up.
Yes. Yeah.
Got a little shiver down my spine.
Yeah, that's going to be cold.
It's definitely going to be cold. I don't know if anybody's ever spent time in that kind of cold wind.
Oh.
But if you don't have good gear, like I wear leather gear, because it holds the wind out for that kind of cold, you're not going to make it very long yourself.
No, no.
So that's where that longer fur comes in with the dog.
Sure, sure.
And yours are Siberian Huskies.
Siberian Huskies. I have one Alaskan Husky.
One Alaskan Husky.
Mm-hmm. The rest are all Siberians.
Now, you said we were talking a little bit. The Alaskan Husky is bred with?
They're kind of a mutt, but, you know, they're mixed with any kind of a northern dog, a Samoyed, a Malamute, a Siberian, and they're mixed with, you know, anything. But what they have found that has worked the best for racing is they're mixing them with a hound. They actually have some from Europe called a Eurohound, and some of those, they're not even mixed. It's just a pure breed, and they run them like a sled dog team. And
really?
they look like the red bone. They're just really short hair, but it's really thick, and these dogs can just flat out fly. They use those more for the sprint races, but they can do more endurance too. And a sprint race is really like a 30-mile race. That's considered sprint.
30 miles.
In mushing world, yes. Endurance races or long-distance races are hundreds, a couple hundred miles.
Well, now you got an opportunity a couple of years ago to go watch one of those long races.
I did. Yes. My wife and I went up to Anchorage to watch the start of the Iditarod dog sled race.
That had to be a lot of fun for you to see all the different dogs and different teams.
Yeah. I went up there for my birthday.
It was for your birthday?
Yeah, I think it was my 30th.
Okay, now you're joking.
Yeah.
30.
Yeah. But, it was a huge treat for me because I got to see what these guys that I just do on weekends and occasionally every now and then here and there get to run them, where this is their life. You know, they wake up every day and this is what they do. They don't have jobs. They
strictly tend to the dogs.
That's all they do. They get up in the morning. They hire handlers that live with them that help them work these dogs.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And you could, if you want to be a musher, you can get online and look for someone who's looking for a handler, move to Alaska. They'll house you, feed you, and barely pay you. And you get to feed, take care of, pick up dew, and get on the back of a sled and run dogs every day.
Really?
That's all you'll do every day.
So the main musher, do they make money off from racing?
Yes.
So that's how their income comes?
Yes.
It's from the races.
And their sponsors. You have to have sponsors in order to race because you have to feed and take care of these dogs.
Right. You got to have some way to feed them and take care of them, and then you have to have some kind of income to feed yourself.
Well, yeah, and then you have to travel to get to these races, so you need vehicles that can haul 30 dogs.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and they'll hook up, 12 to 16 dogs at a time, and the handler will do all that, and then the musher takes off, and then the handler hooks up another 10 or 12, and then he takes off, and he follows the musher. And they're going out with, up to 30 dogs out on the trail, and they run them, every day. And then they switch them around and they move them in different positions and who they run best with and next to, and they figure out which dogs are going to be the best dogs, the ones that are going to be able to run hard and have the endurance and not take. It's amazing when you're doing this how you can see the personality of the dogs, where you'll see which ones are pulling hard, which ones work better when they're up front, which ones work better when they're in the middle, which ones work better when they're in the back, which ones work best with other dogs.
Yeah, because that doesn't always happen.
Sometimes you'll put him next to a dog and he just won't run. And you're like, "What? Why is this dog not pulling?" He just doesn't like who he's next to. He wants to get away from whoever he's next to.
They're finicky.
Sometimes. I've always described them as, the Siberian anyway, as a cat in a dog's body. They're very independent and very aloof. Yeah, they're not your loyal, what you see on TV.
They're not your Labrador that hangs out in the house with you.
No, they're not Lassie, they're not a Lab. They're none of those, yeah.
So, we think about how the mushers have to spend and the handlers have to spend so much time with those dogs, and they're racing with them. So we don't have to spend as much time. But I know a lot of people don't spend enough time with
Correct.
Their dogs. And that creates problems with their communication with their owner.
Yes.
So that's something to think about, that spending time with your dog, walking with your dog, taking them out and playing with your dog.
Getting that bond.
Yeah, you got to do stuff with
them. You have to have that bond.
Yeah, kind of like with your kids.
Yes.
Some people don't do enough with their kids.
Very true.
The Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville has what you need. They've got you covered for all your hunting needs. Stop into the Farmers Co-op at 3302 Prospect Street in Hudsonville. For a complete list of products and services, check them out online at fcelevator.com. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on the Outdoor Show. Welcome Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. For all your arrow-knocking, gun-cocking, fish-hooking, flag-waving, stand-up and sing God Bless America hunting and fishing needs. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We're back, ready to answer your questions, right here on the Outdoor Show.
Impressive. We don't get to make fun of Tim anymore.
I know.
It has nothing to do with that song, but we just hardly ever see our buddy Tim.
I'm going to have to tell him to get his butt in here.
You need to.
Most of the hunting seasons are over. He can come.
Yep.
Well, not, I'll do that.
Do
I'll
it.
Tell him it's time to get back.
Drag him back in here.
Back in the saddle.
That's right.
That's Tim's place, Powderhorn Guns and Archery.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you see Terry? He was getting excited. He was ready to stand.
I saw it.
Hoorah.
He was looking. Oh, Semper Fi over here.
Yeah. I met Tim.
Well, I saw you looking around for a flag while I was reading that.
Let's stand up.
Anyhow, I'm here with Terry Persian, and we're talking about dog mushing. That'd be dog sledding. Different care and different aspects of dogs, and it kind of rolls over into everything else. If you missed the beginning of the show, when I say everything else, I'm sorry, it rolls over into care for other dogs, not just the huskies that pull sleds. But if you missed the beginning of the show and you want to catch some of that, you can go to WHTC.com, go to media, down to podcasts, click on there, and find the Outdoor Show and scroll on down. You can pick up any show you want, either this week's or next. The one today will be on there at 8:01 or something.
Yeah, 8:02.
8:02.
Yeah.
We're always pushing Chris to do it faster. Do it faster. Get it on there. Be better. Anyhow, we've been talking about the dogs and the different aspects of the dogs and spending time with the dogs for them to be good at what they do. Something I was kind of curious about, how do you run them in the summertime?
Oh, we have a cart, it's a three-wheeled cart that has a little braking mechanism on it, and you can steer, and you can run them on that. When you run them in the summer, you have to be really, really careful that you don't overheat them, you know, to make sure that...
So yeah. You kind of jog most of the time?
You don't go the distance. You definitely have a lot of water, and you really don't need to do the mileage that you would do in the winter. It's basically just getting them out there, keeping them fresh to knowing this is what you're supposed to do. And
how you're supposed to do it.
How you're supposed to do it. And just keeping, you know, keeping them loose and all of that. I don't do it near as much as I should.
You got a full-time job,
right,
and you got
job,
dogs on top of that.
Yeah, the summertime we're extremely busy, so by the time I get home, it's dark a lot of times, and
oh yeah,
it makes it a little difficult. So and it's so hot,
the dogs don't want to anyway.
Not too much. No,
we could just make you 24-hour stay up all the time. You
yeah,
run them at night.
Yeah,
it's cooler.
Run them at 2 a.m. to 4, and
they wouldn't care.
No, they would be happy with that because they're going to sleep all day anyway.
Well, and I mentioned to you that I think it for hound dogs that are bred for hunting, they run 50 miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is. And the owners, they don't run behind them on a sled or a cart.
They just let them go?
They drive.
Oh. Well, how do they know where the dogs are at?
Well, they run them actually down like gravel roads and stuff.
Oh, I see.
And this is just my understanding. I'm not real, you know, well-versed in it, but mm-hmm. I know that the hound dogs, because they have to run a lot when they use them for hunting,
mm-hmm.
Like bobcats, when the hounds track down bobcats, they go a long, long way.
Sure.
They can't catch them.
Sure.
And then what they do is they tree them is how they end up
right.
Getting them to stay still.
But they have to get that animal tired enough that he
yeah.
will go up a tree.
Otherwise, it just keeps on running. Now,
right.
Wild animals, they're accustomed. They're okay. They will run.
And go
continue
and go
running.
And go.
So it's, you know, they have to spend a lot of time with those dogs. And mm-hmm. they'll run them down like two tracks that have sandy sandy base or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or gravel roads that they can run down. And they have to exercise them. And those dogs can run. Boy, can they run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their lungs are so huge. You can't see that on a husky because of all the hair. But
right.
With a hound dog, like a red bone, you can see how big their chest is. Their lungs are just...
Yeah, like the German short hair.
Yes.
Got that too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, German short hairs. Excuse me. We used to hunt with a German short hair. Boy, she was an awesome dog.
Oh, smart dogs and go, go, go.
And she was so calm.
Oh.
So calm. She just,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
When hunting, she would go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But if, well, she bit into a porcupine one time.
Oh.
And we had to pull the quills off.
Ouch.
She just sat there and never whimpered once.
Oh,
while we removed the quills from her tongue.
Wow.
Yeah.
You had an amazing dog.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Her name was Brownie, and she was an awesome dog.
Wow. My brother had a German short hair, and calm was not how I would describe that dog.
Well, they're excitable.
Yes.
I guess the calm I'm talking about is when she would sit there when you tell her to sit down.
Oh,
and not,
obedient.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very obedient.
Fidget and fuss.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But when we'd go out hunting, man, she was ready to go. That short little tail going.
Oh, yeah. And every muscle in her body just quavering. Yeah. It's time to go.
Yep. Definitely. So, you know, spending time with the dogs, working them, all that good stuff, you actually take the dogs to show them. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, you were at the Civic Center, weren't you?
Yes, at the Kurtz Market. Yeah, I go there every year.
And then people come and see the dogs, they pet the dogs? What all happens?
Yeah, basically, they just come down and they see the dogs and they pet the dogs. And I bring all my equipment, my gear, my three-wheel cart, and a couple of my different types of sleds, and then all my rope and gang line and harnesses. A lot of people that have never been exposed to this just find it interesting to see how it all works, and they ask questions, and I explain what we do and how we do.
Anybody ever get tangled up in the harnesses when they're all laid out?
No.
Besides you?
Yeah, just me and my handler. Yeah. But yeah, most of the time, you know, they just ask questions, or they like to stand on the car or on the cart or stand on the sled and just kind of see what it's like. They bring their kids and
they close their eyes and they dream about the Iditarod.
Yeah.
I know when I was a kid, all I could think about was, you know, getting out there and doing stuff like that.
Sure.
And dog mushing was something that I dreamt about when I was a kid.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
My dad built a little sled.
Okay.
Kid-sized sled that we pulled with our German Shepherd.
Oh, yeah.
My little sister would sit on the sled, and then we'd go along with my German Shepherd.
Yeah, and every dog will pull. Every single dog will pull.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just in their nature to pull. You just got to teach it, that's all.
Yeah. Try to hold on to the leash when my hound dog picks up a scent.
Oh, man. Yeah, good luck.
He just wants to go.
They're strong.
Yes, they are.
They're so low built to the ground. Well, every dog is, but I read somewhere that a dog has 20 times its weight it can pull, 20 times its own weight, yeah, because it's low center of gravity and can dig in.
Yeah, they dig in and they really go.
Yeah.
Now, when we come back, we'll talk about how people can get a hold of you to do a demo on the dogs.
Oh, okay.
Because you used to do that. I know you did that for us with the cadets one time.
Yeah, yep, still do that.
We'll be back in a minute. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland with competitive prices and personalized service to meet all your needs. Repair, storage, winterizing, parts, and more. Call Advantage Marine in Zeeland at 616-748-9235 or stop in and see Dave at 8755 Riley Street in Zeeland. That's at the corner of 88th and Riley on the northeast side of Zeeland. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by Holland's Original Gun and Knife Show, February 15, 2014, from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. at the Holland Civic Center. And My Firearms ETS, educating people in the safe and responsible use of firearms since 2001. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Courses offered by My Firearms ETS are designed to provide you with the knowledge, skill, and correct attitude to use firearms safely in all environments and situations. Classes offered regularly. Class sizes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot, 616-218-7328. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. We've got a short segment left here. And I'm talking with Terry Pershing, dog musher extraordinaire. Again, if you missed it any early part of the show, you can go to WHTC.com, go under Media, Podcasts, and The Outdoor Show, and pick up the recorded show later on today, 8:02 or something like that, I think Chris said. Shortly after 8 a.m., it'll be on online that you can pick it up. And anyhow, we've been talking about these dogs and everything. You've done a lot of programs for kids, gone and shown the dogs for kids and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I know you came out to show them to the cadets out at the cadet campground off from Ransom.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool because you ran around the loop and then came back with them.
Sure.
The kids were all excited about that.
We did that on a cart, right?
We did that with the cart
right.
in the summertime.
Right, yeah.
And the braking system. I remember the braking system.
Yeah, really, really high tech.
But that was I remember that, and I think that was a lot of fun. I think a couple different people called me to contact you that I gave them their your number and so
mm-hmm.
on in order to get a hold of you to look at the dogs. It does cost money to do it, so, you know, like a donation is nice, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Help with getting them there and stuff?
Yeah, usually I'll have a kind of a somewhat of a set fee to do these type of things.
Okay.
Because usually I have to take time off of work to
right.
do it. I go to a lot of schools as well.
You're not independently wealthy.
Not even close. So
don't we all wish we were?
Yes, because then I probably would be living somewhere else doing this.
Maybe we could get some sponsors.
There we go. We need some sponsors. But, you know, I do go to a lot of schools. I go to Woodbridge Elementary every year, and I go to Lakeshore and Lakeview Elementary
okay.
schools every year. And then I do some in Grand Rapids and some in Muskegon and, you know, wherever. Actually, I got a call from a lady in Lake Orion.
Really?
This year. She wants me to go all the way to Lake Orion.
Oh, that'd be kind of
to
cool.
do something there, because kids on that side of the state aren't ever exposed to this.
Yeah,
so.
They don't get to see this stuff.
So we're going to probably go do that one just for fun. But
sweet.
Yeah, it's going to be all day.
Do the Ottawa County Parks or the ODC or the Graphic
yeah.
Nature Center have
you out? I do the Outdoor Discovery Center every year, usually their Winterfest. I have to double-check that one this year because I may have booked that day because I didn't hear from Jamie. So I'll have to get a hold of Jamie and make sure I can still fit that
Jamie
in.
Was here last week.
Oh, Jamie's a great guy, man. Great guy.
Yes.
But do you know when the Winterfest is?
I don't recall, but I'll tell you what. When you're telling us about the Iditarod,
okay.
I'm going to look up the Winterfest.
That would be.
Let everybody know.
That'd be awesome.
Or Chris will probably look it up because he hears us talking. And he always does that stuff. So he looks up the thing.
I was actually zoned out.
Oh, you were zoned out?
I was. All I heard was, Chris will probably look that up for us, and I thought...
Chris was zoned out?
Dang it, the one time I...
We got him, finally! The Winterfest at the ODC.
Got it.
Chris will look that up, because when I'm talking and typing, it doesn't work.
Oh, I can't do that either. I am not a multitasker. Not even close.
But the... So the Outdoor Discovery Center, you usually do that one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done it for Ottawa County Parks or not?
No, that's the only place I've ever done it for was Outdoor Discovery Center and the Kurtz Market are the main two that I do every year.
Well, we'll try to get you in touch with Rob Venner from DeGraff.
Okay.
I'm sure he would think that's awesome.
Yeah, I've never been over to the DeGraff Nature Center.
Oh, well, I'll get you in touch with Rob and with Kristen Hintz from Ottawa County Parks.
Yeah, I know they do a lot of neat stuff in the wintertime there. So that would be kind of neat. I'm not sure if they have as much room as Outdoor Discovery Center, though.
No. Well, it's 18 acres right here.
Oh, well, that's plenty.
Oh, and the trails go through there and so on. I don't know how tight the turns are.
Right, yeah, I haven't been over there to see.
And then
but.
Ottawa County Parks has the Hemlock Crossings location.
Oh, and that would work, too. I've been out there. That's nice.
Yeah. That'd be kind of neat to do a program on that.
Sure.
So that the people could see what it's like to deal with dogs.
You know, and most of those people are outdoor people anyway, so it just fits in. Fits right in.
Yeah. The outdoors is awesome.
It is.
Wildlife and domestic dogs are still awesome.
Yes, indeed.
I don't know too many outdoorsmen who don't have dogs.
Not too many, yeah.
And they all like to have dogs around.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow.
You have just to interrupt here, do you have an idea of what month it would be in for the Winterfest?
Isn't it January?
I think it's January.
If it is, it's not on their calendar on their website.
Maybe it's February this year.
Then it is also not on the calendar on their website.
Oh.
Because I am right on their website.
Jamie talked about it last week, so we can either go to the recording or we can just call Jamie and find out.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
I live a mile and a half from the Outdoor Discovery Center, so that makes it really easy.
That's the easy one.
That is the easy one. Yes, my favorite one.
Anyhow, I was thinking about... Oh, I forgot to add... How can people contact you?
Oh.
They've been sitting here waiting, and I was going to move on to the Iditarod.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a website or anything, so all I have is my phone number.
They just give you a phone call.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's your number?
218-9135.
That's a 616-218-9135.
Correct.
218-9135. I don't even know it. It's in my phone. It's got Terry.
Yours is Tom, too. I don't know yours either.
Anyhow, so people can get a hold of you if they want to, see if they can get you out for a demonstration.
Sure.
And so on, see the dogs and the sledding equipment and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But now, we talked just a little bit about the Iditarod and what it takes for the musher as well as the dogs. Tell us about it.
It is very grueling. You know, like we were saying, they get up every day and they run these dogs. And there's to get prepared for these long-distance races, like the Iditarod is a 1,000-mile race. So
1,000 miles, you and the dogs.
You and the dogs. That's it. And you get rest stops, but when you have rest stops, you just pull off the trail. Most of them, what they do. There is a couple places that actually have a facility that you can go inside and sleep. But there's not very many. Most of them are, and then there's a lot of dogs in that same spot that are stopping. So a lot of these mushers like to just pull off the side of the trail so the dogs aren't interrupted and they get full sleep. So what they do is they have a little bit of hay that they have on their sled that they carry with all the other supplies, and they sprinkle it down for the dogs to curl up on and sleep. But the musher, when he or she first pulls over, they have to check every single dog. There's 16 dogs. They have to take their little booties off their feet, make sure all their pads are good, replace the booties if need be. They check their joints. They check their gums to make sure that they're all healthy and everything's good.
That's 64 feet.
Yes.
16 jaws.
Exactly. And then they have to feed them all. So they have to build a fire, melt some snow, pour the hot water on the food, and then give them their dishes and feed them their food. And then, and only then, do they get to eat themselves. And then they put hay on the ground, throw a sleeping bag on it, and jump in. And they get an hour to two.
And they're running 100 miles a day.
Yes, 100 miles a day.
Because that's a 10-day trip.
Yeah, the fastest race ever was 8 days and
8 days.
20 hours. I was actually there for that one when he broke the record. Jim Baker.
125 miles a day.
Yes, over the worst terrain known to man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's amazing what these dogs and mushers do. They are unbelievably, and there's quite a few women that do it too.
Wow.
Yeah, Allie Zirkle, go. She's my favorite.
Well, if you want to see a demonstration, 218-9135.
You got
9135. Give Terry a call and see if you can schedule him to bring the dogs in and check it out.
Sure, it'd be fun. So,
yeah, man, that's a lot.
It's crazy. It's
a 1,000 miles.
It's unbelievable. It's like going from here to Florida.
Wow. Thank you, Terry. We'll talk to you next week right here on the Outdoor Show.
Thanks for joining us this morning for the WHTC Outdoor Show with your host, Tom Bedendorf, the outdoor show for the whole family. Today's show has been brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. If you missed today's show or you'd like to hear it again, go online for the podcast at WHTC.com and join us next Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for the WHTC Outdoor Show on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.